Early in my brother Philip's career, when he was best known as a poet, he ran a special writing program at Pier 75 on the Upper West Side. He had his students write poetry and stories and moved on to making films, and one year they put on a stage production of West Side Story. And then he thought, why not have them do something really difficult, like appearing in a play by Chekhov? And that's how a staging of Uncle Vanya came into being, directed by Philip and performed by fifth and sixth graders. It had two performances on Broadway, kind of, Symphony Space in 1979. Sasha Waters Fryer, who was one of the students involved in that production, has made a documentary about that experience called Chekhov for Children. And I am delighted that she could join us today, along with Philip Lopate and Angus Johnson, who played Vanya. Welcome to our show.
Glad to be here. Man.
Thank you.
Sasha, your film was inspired by an essay called Chekhov for Children that was written by Philip, and it's in his 1989 collection, Against Joie de Vivre. Did you think of making a film while you were reading that piece? Hello, Sasha, are you there? Well, okay. It says that she's here. That's all. But meanwhile, let's talk to the rest of you. Philip, you staged West Side Story
Yes. At
the insistence of your students.
Yes.
But did they even know who Chekhov was?
They hadn't the foggiest. I had done a lot of movies with them and plays that were things they wanted to do. Vampire movies, gangster films, nightclub stories. And I actually didn't think originally of doing Uncle Vanya with kids. I thought I would use a piece of the play, which I always loved, to teach some writing lessons about miscommunication and X loves Y loves Z, and neither one can seem to get their head on straight.
Thank
about
you.
It.
And then irony as well.
Yes.
And irony is important here.
Yes, exactly. So I used it to teach them irony, and then I got carried away myself in an unironic manner.
Well, Angus, how aware were you of even the concept of irony, or was this something that kids understand instinctively?
Well, you know, there's a weird thing about the particular age that we were at the time, that you're not quite an adolescent, you're not quite a teenager. So you're kind of a grown-up kid. It's this moment before all of the hormones start raging, before mm-hmm. all of this other stuff starts happening, and you think of yourself as being very grown up. I remember at that age thinking that I was pretty much a man.
How old were you at the time?
10?
10, 11, 12. A lot of self. It's a period of enormous self-consciousness, and I would say sarcasm, which is a kind of early form of irony.
Well, okay, Sasha, we got you here. And my question was, did you think of making this film when you were reading Philip's essay in Against Joie de Vivre, or had you always been tempted to put together a film on the subject?
No, in fact, I had never been tempted to put together a film until I ran into Philip at the University of Iowa, where I teach. He was here for a conference. And he mentions it in the essay, but I'd forgotten, that there was a videotape of the play. Mm-hmm. So he reminded me of that, and I said, oh, I would love to see it, mainly for personal nostalgia reasons, and then I forgot about it. And he sent it to me a couple of months later, and it was really seeing that beautiful black and white Betamax footage of the performance that made me instantly want to revisit that experience, get in touch with all of those people again. It's a very interesting thing growing up in New York and being a part of a neighborhood where you can spend a lot of time around people at a particular age, but then if you all disperse to different junior high schools and high schools, as we all did, you don't see people again. So it was also an opportunity to find those people.
Now, you had, at the time, you had taken photographs and also tape recorded.
Yes.
That so you were interested in preserving it at the time, and then you forgot about it.
Then I forgot about it. And I think that if I had discovered the existence of the tape at a younger age, I may not have been as interested as in going back and making a documentary about it. I think there was something about really being middle-aged myself, being a parent, thinking about what kind of educational experiences do I want my own children to have that really inspired this investigation.
Well, can you imagine your kids appearing in Uncle Vanya or The Cherry Orchard?
I can't.
Well, I'll bet you of the parents involved could imagine their kids doing this.
I can't. My kids are younger. My oldest daughter's only in first grade. But I think it depends on, I mean, some public schools are obviously stronger than others. There's a lot of conversation right now about public schooling in this country. My kids go to a local public school. It's 2 blocks away from where I live. And there's wonderful, particularly music education, some arts education. But it's true, I think, in this, we have this era of kind of standardized testing fanaticism and outcome assessments that make it difficult for even the most dedicated teachers to spend that kind of time with students.
Philip, how long had you been working with the children of PS75 when you came up with this cockamamie idea?
It was indeed cockamamie. I had been working for probably 7 or 8 years, and I'd gained a lot of credibility in that community, and so it was time to move on to the wilder ideas.
The kids had made films, many
yes.
of them,
and some
and
of these
that
films,
brought you to Telluride, did?
Yes, I showed. The kids made a bunch of Super 8 films and videos that were very creative, and I showed them at the Los Angeles Film X and Telluride Film Festival. What amazes me about this film, though, first of all, Sasha, you did such a beautiful job with this movie.
What are the
chances that a kid in the production would grow up to become a documentary filmmaker, you know?
Now, she didn't shoot the
No, she didn't.
That was a woman named Terry Mack.
Yes.
Terry Mack.
Somebody on our team. And, in fact, this was all a program that was sponsored by Teachers and Writers Collaborative, which still exists. And I was in charge of a writing team and filmmaking team, and the idea was to hit this one school with maximum intervention, see what happened.
Now, Angus, had you been doing other things with teachers and writers, or was Vanya your first real involvement?
No, I'd done a few things. There's a movie that we have tiny, tiny clips
yes.
of in the documentary called The Brain, where I played a kid who decides he doesn't want to think and throws his brain out and then goes nuts in the school. So that was really my first experience performing.
You see how incipient that was? You were already doing a Vanya-esque thing because you were saying, I'm too self-conscious. I don't want this burden of understanding.
Well, now, but you think about being an actor, or was this just an accident?
It was not something I would have gone out for if I hadn't been picked. Phil and Mike Temple, sort of tapped me for it, but I'm a professor now, and I've done a lot of I was in plays in high school, and I did a lot of activism in college, which involved a lot of public speaking. So this really did unlock a sort of performative aspect of my personality that has always stayed with me.
And were you aware of how challenging it was going to be when you embarked on this? Because you did the complete play.
Yeah.
And this is not an abridged version, is it?
No, it's a complete play.
And it was our own
and
translation.
And you had to learn every line.
I didn't actually learn every line. There were parts of it that were still a little bit fuzzy. But for me, really, the memorization was the only part that struck me as daunting. The rest of it, the themes of the play, the ideas in the play, all of the adults in my life were telling me that part was really hard, but that part seemed very simple to me.
And you felt like you got Vanya?
Yeah, he seemed like a guy who I understood, yeah.
You know, so, humiliation, chagrin, this is part of childhood.
I'm going to jump in here and just say,
please.
I was just thinking that, at around this time in my life, I was really obsessed with Peanuts comic books, and a lot of different Peanuts books had been re-released as paperbacks, and I think that there's something
Chekhovian about
Peanuts. Something very Chekhovian about
Charlie Brown and Uncle Vanya.
They're very, very similar, very connected.
Now Angus talked about its impact on his life afterward. You tracked down as many of the people involved in the production as you could.
Yes.
Did they all say that?
No. For some people, it was not as profound an experience, I would say. I mean, Rebecca Stead in particular, who is one of the two women who played
Sonia,
is totally not interested in anything having to do with Chekhov. She said it actually instilled in her a lifelong dread of Chekhov. But I think, I mean, I say that,
And she hates Russia.
I think certainly, I mean, she is someone who is a writer. She just wrote a Newbery Award-winning book called When You Reach Me, which also happens to take place on the Upper West Side in 1979 and in a public school that's very similar to PS75. So clearly, I think this idea that you have these experiences and you more broadly get the impression that if you work hard at something that's very difficult and make a commitment to making something creative, that you can do things, that you can make things happen. And I'm not, I don't think that students are necessarily taught that broader lesson today, that that they have a kind of agency with regards to their own education and creative output.
I'm talking with Sasha Waters Fryer, who is the filmmaker responsible for a new film. Well, it's a new film, actually, Chekhov for Children. It's about the production of Anton Chekhov's Uncle Vanya at PS 75 in 1979. Also with us is Philip Lopate, who was responsible for that, and Angus Johnston, who played Uncle Vanya. And the film will be screened at the Film Society of Lincoln Center this coming Thursday at 6:30, introduced by you. You're coming to town?
Yes, I'm coming to town on Wednesday.
That's the Walter Reed Theater.
I have to teach all day.
And also you, Philip, and you, Angus, will be there?
Yeah.
Now, Sasha, did you make any of the films that we see excerpts from in this film?
No, I think I'm an extra in one or two of them, but I wasn't really involved in the filmmaking. I remember doing more projects on the creative writing side, poetry and drawing with Philip and with other teachers as well. But interestingly, no, the filmmaking was not something I was involved with at that time.
Were parents involved in this production in any way?
Not really, though it seems to me that your mother, Angus, had a samovar that she donated to.
She actually did the costumes.
Oh, she did costumes and props, yes. Yes, your mother was very... I have to say that Angus was a perfect Vanya because he was very thoughtful and would not just say the automatic thing. So that when he forgot his lines occasionally, you felt that Vanya was grappling for a deeper truth.
Your description of the production of the show sounds rather peaceful. Did anyone threaten to quit, as happened while you were rehearsing West Side Story?
Oh, certainly. There were temper tantrums. One of the problems was that I had two terrific actresses who were competing for the role of Sonia, and so... each could only get one performance, you know, so there was a bit of...
And one of them remains bitter, I gather.
No, she's a terrific writer, Rebecca.
You say that the children were quite sympathetic to some of the characters in Vanya because they had a tendency to sound out third parties when they were trying to find out whether their romantic feelings were reciprocated.
Yeah, well, that was a joke of it, is that there really were these romantic subplots going on behind the scenes, and sometimes they were in direct contradiction to... the characters they were playing.
Were you at all afraid that the whole thing would turn out to be a disaster when you went to Symphony Space?
I was very afraid at every moment. I was terrified. And I was thinking today that one of the things that united everybody was this feeling of terror, which you know, Samuel Johnson said that the threat of the noose is a great, concentrator of attention. And this certainly concentrated everybody's attention. And I think... what has to be understood also was that I was not a trained drama teacher. I was not a trained theater director. So I was flying by the seat of my pants, and everybody else was too.
I think though, Philip, that the terror might have been worse for you or for the adults than it was for the children.
Mm-hmm.
I think it was a sort of exciting terror for us. Mm-hmm. We thought everything ultimately would be fine.
You trusted me.
Well, also, it wasn't being presented in the school auditorium. It was at Symphony Space, which was different than it is now, but still was a real theater, and it was on Broadway. And
that was a very big deal for us as kids, the idea that this was going to be a real play and that we were going to be doing something that wasn't just a jokey kid thing. And I think, you know, we had a little bit of that terror, but we also had a sense of moment. And that sense of moment was very, very exciting to us. I mean, I remember how big of a deal it was.
Well, you wrote about this in an essay and also in your book, Being with Children. Have you gotten any feedback, Philip, from other people who've tried something similar?
I have to say that I've seen a lot of wonderful productions at the middle school level and high school level since. And so by no means can I say that, you know, I was doing something so unique.
But these are fifth and sixth graders. These are younger than junior high.
They were younger, plus I was more inexperienced. So yeah, I've gotten feedback, and actually a lot of theater directors have read the essay, and they're fascinated with it.
Sasha, where's the film going to be shown after the Lincoln Center screening?
Well, it will be shown in Houston at the Cinema Arts Festival in Houston in November, and also at the St. Louis International Film Festival as part of a children's film symposium that they have there. And then I'm still lining up other screenings and talking to a couple of different distributors.
And are you working on another project at the moment?
I'm just starting to research a project that interests me. I'm actually moving to Sweden for 6 months because my husband's on a Fulbright in 2011, and I'm very interested in the plight of Iraqi refugees in Sweden.
Philip,
so, completely different.
Philip, you now teach at Columbia and Hofstra. Do you miss working with children?
I do. That was, I think, the most exciting job I ever had. Also the most exhausting job. I would come home every day I worked with them and take a nap. So I miss it, but I don't miss the low salary.
Angus, other cast members will also be at the Walter Reed. Have you been in touch with them over the years?
No, Phil and Sasha are the only two people from the production who I've seen since 1980. So I'm looking forward to it.
This is going to be very exciting for us to get together.
It's going to be great. I mean, Terry Mack will be there. A number of the old teachers will be there. Ruth Lacey said she's coming. Everyone who is in the play, I'm pretty sure, will be there.
Well, the screening is this coming Thursday, the 21st, at 6:30 at the Walter Reed Theater. That's at 165 West 65th Street. And for ticket information, go to our show page at WNYC.org. And a reminder that Philip, Angus, other cast members, and also Sasha will be there on Thursday. Thank you all so much for being with us today.
Thank you.
Thank you very much.